because we see even temptation as weakness. And I think he was calling us to radical transparency. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of things.
Yeah. I hope to be able to share a little bit of that passage in particular, just as a teaser for this book, because I think it's a really powerful passage. There's a lot of really powerful passages. You touch on a few episodes through the Gospels. Was it hard for you to choose which ones to talk about? Because, of course, you can't just do expository teaching on every single passage in all four of the Gospels.
It was really hard. And I had to keep coming back to, how does this move us forward in mm-hmm. pursuing the mystery? Because, of course, there's so many things we could. These are the ones I picked.
Yeah.
And I probably could have picked other ones. It wasn't until I've written the first or the second or third draft that I added a section on the parables
mm-hmm.
because I thought they're not only core teaching, there's some mysteries and some enigma in there.
Yeah, and it's very much a water to wine type of, those are the passages that you can easily actually jump into.
Yep.
Kind of, if you want intro to water to wine reading, probably the parables is a pretty good place to start.
Pretty good place, yeah. Yeah. So even in response, and it wasn't obvious to me, took a while to figure it out, and even a few months into editing, I made some big changes.
Hmm. Let's talk about the Transfiguration. This is such a powerful encounter. You've got an entire chapter on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, again, made a really interesting point that I hadn't thought of before, which is John, the beloved disciple, was privy to that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he's the only guy who actually didn't include it in his mm-hmm. in his gospel. The mm-hmm. other three did.
Mm-hmm.
But you also contend that experience greatly influenced how he wrote his gospel, how he
Absolutely.
Even speaks about Christ and who Christ is. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that? And maybe why do you think he didn't actually include the episode itself?
Okay. Yeah, it obviously had a huge impact, and he refers to it pretty clearly in his first letter, 1 John,
mm-hmm.
And what took place there, again, the heavenly realms being right in the midst of that impacted his gospel,
yeah,
especially the prologue, but 1 John, it's filled with that. Why he didn't write about it, I think, is this. John wrote probably 30 years after. Now, there's all kinds of speculation when the Gospels were written, but I tend to think they were written in the 50s and 60s. And if there's some in the 70s, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. But John was written a generation later.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he have another generation to contemplate and the mystery of Christ, but I think, as do some kind of historical theologians, that by then it was just such common knowledge. This is the gospel. Because remember, the gospel that they taught was just what Jesus did. They taught the Old Testament, how he was the fulfillment. And by the way, Ignatius wrote a great book on that, if anybody cares. And then and then they taught what he did. And I think that's the reason. But when you begin to see the influence, you see it all the way through his writing.
Yeah. What do you think is one of the number one takeaways we need to have as Christ followers from that episode, the Transfiguration?
It's a look of into our future.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is a look into our future, because I think this is who Christ is all the time. In one sense, I feel like the three guys, they were transfigured. It's like their vision, suddenly they saw reality.
Yeah.
As opposed to everything was normal and then it happened. Well, yeah, but I think really what happened is the veil came off.
Yeah.
And that's our future. That is glorious. That's being 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transfigured from glory to glory. Notice I said transfigured, not transformed,
yes.
Because that's the word, transfigured. And from glory to glory, and as I did this chapter, I became more and more in touch in the moment with our ultimate destiny.
Yeah.
So we got a wonderful sneak peek. preview of where we're going and what's happening.
The mystery of Christ is, by its nature, ever-expanding. Mm-hmm. We'll never plumb the depths of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard to communicate. I think you've done a beautiful job in this book of doing that. But I fear, this happens to me, you and I have talked about this with our friend Bradley Jerzak and some of his teaching and stuff, is you read something, you hear something, you go, oh, that's beautiful, and I just get it, and it just resonates with me, and yes. And then you try to go and communicate it to somebody else, and and suddenly it's not clear anymore, and you're just like, it's too mysterious, I can't articulate it anymore.
I understand that.
A week ago, I was observing somebody trying to teach some young people how to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And it was something that would be very familiar to you and I and many of our listeners, viewers. It started with a drawing, right, of the big chasm between us and God. And
let me guess, there's a cross in between.
indeed there was, yeah. And of course, there was the classic Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and all those things. And God can't look at sin, so He can't be anywhere near us. But thank heavens,
Habakkuk
Jesus came in.
Habakkuk
1:13,
A, not B.
Indeed,
yeah.
And we've talked about this before, and you know, I don't want to set up a straw man here, but sometimes I think that the Romans Road and some of these things that really are coming right from these chick tracks and stuff like that are popular approaches to sharing the gospel because they are simple. You can draw them on a whiteboard or on the back of a napkin in a matter of moments, and you can very quickly convey this concept of God's way up here, we're way down here, we don't deserve His love, we don't deserve His saving grace, and yet, you know,
He sent His Son
to die
out
what death that we deserve.
Yeah.
It's an easy gospel to present. I would argue it's not very good news. It starts with the bad news right off the bat, like, hey, you're scum and you deserve to go down there.
Yeah.
But hey, I got good news. If you pray this prayer, it's very transactional. We've talked about that. You talk about it in your book. But it's easy. I can draw it on the back of a napkin, you know.
Which gets back to your very first question today, was why are we afraid of mystery? And I said, because we like predictability.
Yeah.
We like formulas.
So can you help us? How can we stay true to the vastness, the depth, the beauty, the splendor, the mystery of the gospel, of this person, Jesus, that we follow, but be able to convey it to somebody in a way that they can quickly grasp at least some of the basic concepts and go, oh, I need to know more about this Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. In fact, that's a big part of what I was doing with a whole bunch of leaders in India.
Yeah.
Because they had no inkling of that gospel.
Yeah.
Well, I think we key on a few basic points. The first one is maybe the most important point in Scripture, 1 John 4:8. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
He's not love, comma, but He's also judgment, but He's also this. God is love. I go from there to saying, did you know that contrary to how we feel about ourselves, God is never mad at you,
mm-hmm.
and He's never disappointed. In fact, Zephaniah 3 tells us He rejoices over you. When He looks at you, He gets excited.
Mm-hmm.
There's my son Tim, you know. So I usually start there. It takes some work to begin to break through that He's not a judge. I say the wonderful news that Jesus brought is that He's not a judge, He's a father.
Mm-hmm.
And then I often talk about, and it's a father who's invited us home. And we're not home to get a licking. We're home to a celebration, right?
Yeah.
The prodigal son. So I really talk about that. And maybe that's as far as I go, you know. And if it goes further, or maybe I get to talk to a person more than once,
mm-hmm.
then I will say what went on at the cross was not God the Father being angry, I really emphasize, it wasn't the wrath of God who put Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
It was the wrath of man.
Now, and if we're you get to share the gospel, well, we get to share the gospel in all sorts of different contexts, different cultures around the world, and sometimes you're sharing it in places where it wouldn't occur to them that it was the wrath of God anyway, so you mm-hmm. probably don't need to dig too deep into that. You just mm-hmm. give them the good news and don't have to counteract any bad news.
And yet I tend to, as you know, there I will stress John 10:10.
Yes.
There's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but today I'm telling you good news. You can realign your life.
Yeah.
Turn your back on the thief.
Yeah. And I was just saying to somebody this morning, one of the wonderful things about the John 10:10 approach is it actually, in either context, whether you're speaking to the churched or the unchurched, it clarifies something right off the bat, because you're clarifying the roles. Because I think sometimes we have attributed some of the thief's attributes to God, right? The
Absolutely.
Accuser, suddenly we're saying, well, God's accusing you, and, you know, instead he accused Jesus. And yet that John 10:10 thing just clearly defines, no, an accuser is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet he came that we might have abundant life, and we have very clear delineation.
And a really important one, because, you know, I talked about this last week too, because I don't know how many times over the last 30 years I've had people, even when I wanted to pray for them for healing, well, God's teaching me something through this, you see.
Yeah.
He's stealing my health, but it's because he's got to teach me, and you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really important verse. So these are the things that I would tend to do. I really want them to know that he's never been mad at them. I told you that.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that he's calling you home to an eternal, wonderful relationship with him. And I may move toward, you know, he's already done it.
Yeah.
When he was on the cross, John 19, he says, it's accomplished, it's finished.
Yeah.
So it's not like we've got to do something for him to do something. He's already done it.
So, and we've talked about this before, but the reason I keep coming back to this, by the way, like if you've been a longtime listener, viewer of the podcast, you know we ask this question a lot. And I think it's because it's just really, really important. And for some of us, we are having to rewire our brains after years and years of a different gospel presentation, which we can actually kind of default back to sometimes if we're lost for words. So that's why it's so important to me that we continue to talk about it. Repentance is such a key component of our response to the gospel, right?
Yeah.
We see that is biblical. Repent and be baptized, repent and believe. How do you present repentance when you are presenting good news of, hey, he's never been mad at you, he's never been disappointed, all these things? You walk him through that. You're leading him to a place of response,
mm-hmm.
which presumably is a repentance of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
What's that look like?
Okay, metanoia means, as you know, it doesn't mean to cry at the altar, though you may cry at the altar. Metanoia means to change your way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what it looks like, and I call them to it, it is essentially a realignment, a reorientation, that, oh, he's always been for me. He's for me right now.
Mm.
He's always been with me. I've never been abandoned. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
And today I'm realigning, reorienting my thinking to Jesus.
Yeah.
You're already here. You've already done it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to live according to that truth.
So the first half of that, if we're going to talk about a salvation prayer, which I think we would agree here, that that's not a necessary, like if you haven't prayed the prayer, then you don't get access to Jesus, or I don't think we believe that. But we also believe, we do it all the time. We lead people into that prayer because we do think that a response is really important.
Yep. Responses.
But much of that response, I've heard you do it, I've done it myself, is one of gratitude. It's thank you that this is the case and it has always been. And
I'm
sorry,
free.
Yeah, I'm
today
sorry
I
that
just
I missed
found
it,
out
today
I'm free.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly where we go with the gospel.
Yeah.
And all I know is I just encountered, I don't know what, a few hundred people that got really happy when we walked through this beautiful gospel together for whatever it was, 4 or 5 days, six days. Because we're made for that. That's the gospel we're made for.
Yeah.
We're not made for the angry God gospel. And And frankly, I feel very much this has become part of my assignment from the Lord at this stage of my life.
Yeah.
To both the churched and the unchurched, you know, that it this is the gospel.
Yeah, this is the gospel. Well, you've been watching this, you've been listening to this, and you're thinking, I need to have this book. Well, I have good news. It is available for pre-order now. The print edition and ebook will be available in just a few weeks, but right now you can pre-order. I would encourage you to do that. If you head to impactnations.com/mystery, you will get the ability to pre-order right then and there, and it'll be printed and shipped to you, or the ebook will be delivered to you. Anything else you want to tell us about this book?
Great forward by our friend Brian Zahn.
Indeed, yes, it is good.
Yeah, he's really good. I thought, man, I should have you write the book. I don't think so. I can let you know that it's my intention. I'm going to carry on.
Yeah.
You know, this book finishes with the triumphal entry.
Yeah.
And
it kind of finishes with a cliffhanger.
A little bit. And, you know, I leave it with the damsel in distress tied up on the railway track. but because it's a setup for the mystery of the cross.
Yeah. Are you excited to get started on that one?
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait. I hope that I will still feel good about this book in 5 years and I won't go, oh man, there was so much more to say.
Yeah.
But if there is, I could always... You know, we've already figured out I can just write part one and part two on the chapters, so
yeah.
I could do it on the book.
That's funny. Well, I'm afraid to say that this concludes season 8 of the Impact Nations podcast.
It's been a great season.
It has been. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. It was longer than I thought it was, if I'm being honest. I didn't realize I was getting myself into 23 different books to read.
That many of them had pictures.
No pictures. But boy, oh boy, did I ever get a chance to meet some amazing, wonderful people.
Yeah.
If you're just catching up, we're going to take a little break because I got some work to do. And you got another book to read to write. But I would encourage you, if you haven't caught all of season 8, go back and check it out. I mean, each of these books I can wholeheartedly recommend, and also just wonderful opportunities to chat with some really fascinating folks from around the world. So listen to season 8 or go back and listen to some of the previous seasons. I can't believe we've been doing this for 8 seasons now. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
We're playing with some different ideas for what the next season, maybe a little mini series over the summer and things like that. So stay tuned. So I will say what I say every week. Be sure you're subscribed, whether that's through your favorite audio podcast app or on YouTube if you like the video. The YouTube stuff is youtube.com/@impactnations. Subscribe, hit the little bell so you get the notifications. We're releasing other videos all the time as well. I just saw one. You haven't seen it yet, but I just saw a wonderful story about a young lady that's been rescued in one of our programs, and she's just talking about her dreams for the future, and it is so exciting. She's wonderful. So subscribe and you'll get that video soon as well. So and that way you'll be notified when season 9 or some sort of little bridge mini series, I don't know what it's going to be, is coming out. I know that there's been talk of the parables at some point in the next year as well. So looking forward to that. But I also know you got another book to write, so I don't know how we're going to get it all done, but so many things to share with you. Thank you for being with us today. Dad, thank you for spending time with us, and thanks for writing this book. I have to say, I told Dad this just this weekend. I loved reading this book. I read it pretty much in 2 sittings. I just couldn't put it down until I needed to. For me, it's actually been my favorite book that you've written, and you've written many, but this was my favorite. And so I'm hoping that all of our listeners will get a chance to pick it up and read it and be blessed by it as well and challenged. So thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, folks. I would say we'll see you next week, but that's probably not true, but we'll see you soon. Have a blessed week. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Brilliant.
Thanks. I was a little fuzzy brain, but
that's fine. I didn't think so.
Okay.
And that's.